Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Amen. Well, I've entitled this message, Antidote for the Hour. Antidote for the Hour. And before I get going, I just like to kind of dive in. Let's go ahead and pray, because I need God and you need God. Amen. Father, we thank you and praise you for this time together. Father, I thank you for everyone that you've drawn tonight by your Spirit. Father, because of these lights, I really can't see them, but I know they're there, and you know they're there. And so, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would minister to each person exactly where they're at. And, Father, I don't want this to come across like a frivolous message, that we're not taking heed to the hour we live in, Father, but I want it to be anointed by your Spirit. And so, Father, I so need you tonight. And, Father, as I've said to you so many times, if you don't show up, I'm in big trouble. So show up, Father. Cause the Word of God to become alive on the inside of each person. Let them hear it where they need to hear it. Father, pour into every part. And we thank you for the amazing anointing of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you're going to be so faithful tonight, Father. We give you honor and glory and praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. I feel like I'm way back, and I was wondering why so many were in the back, and then when they all left, I went, oh, dang. But anyway, you're here, and so we're going to have a good time. Anyway, I want you, Pastor Jim taught us to do this years ago. I want you to follow me. I want you to say, ha, 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 he, 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 ho, ho, ho. Ha, 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 he, 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 ho, ho, ho. Now, believe it or not, even doing a fakey laugh like that helps you. Yeah. I did a little study a few months back on all the benefits of laughing, because I saw that I was laughing less and less as I saw what was going on in our society. And I've always said, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. Amen. And so I did a little study, and it was very interesting to me, the benefits of laughter. And yes, in this article, it even said that if you do a fakey laugh like that, that many of the benefits will help you. And so, you know, if you don't feel like laughing, just sit there in your easy chair and turn off all the sad news and go, ha, 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 he, he, he. And do that with Jesus until you get over in a place where you're really doing that belly laugh. Amen? Amen. Well, I want to just read you some of these benefits. Just in the natural, laughter, and you know, we know God created laughter, right? This is what it'll do for you. First, they said, laughter is good for your health. It really is medicine, like the Bible says. It's good for your health. Laughter relaxes the whole body. A good, hearty laugh relieves physical tension and stress, leaving your muscles relaxed for up to 45 minutes after you laugh. Get rid of all that stress and tension in your shoulders. Amen? Laughter boosts the immune system. Laughter decreases stress hormones and increases immune cells. Don't we need that? And infectious fighting antibodies, thus improving your resistance to disease. Laughter triggers the release of endorphins, the body's natural feel-good chemicals. I like to feel good. Don't you like to feel good? Endorphins promote an overall sense of well-being and can temporarily relieve pain. That's great. Laughter protects the heart. Laughter improves the function of blood vessels and increases blood flow, which can help protect you against a heart attack and other cardiovascular problems. Luke 21:26 says, men's hearts, that in the last days, men's hearts would be failing them for fear and the expectation of things which were coming on the earth. I believe we're on the cuff of that. So it says that laughter will help those blood vessels so that you don't have a heart attack over what's going on. And I've prayed with people over some of the situations going on right now. And it takes me a while to just get them out of the panic fear zone so we can pray. And so laughter will do that. We don't want to die young from a heart attack. We want to live and give God glory. Amen? Laughter burns calories. I like this one. It's no replacement for going to the gym, but one study found that laughing for 10 to 15 minutes a day can burn approximately 40 calories. And so that can amount to like 3 or 4 pounds a year. Well, I think I'm going to start. It'll be a new trend, and I'm going to make a bunch of money. I'm going to go on Shark Tank. And I'm going to start a laughing diet where you have to laugh 12 hours a day. And I figured it out. If you laugh 12 hours a day, you will burn 1,920 calories. And therefore, everything you ate that day is gone. There you go. All right. Except if you're laughing that much, you don't have time to eat, right? Maybe that's the key. You just laugh and you don't eat. Oh, you guys aren't laughing enough. Anyway, so laughter also lightens anger's heavy load. A study in Nothing diffuses anger and conflict faster than a shared laugh. Looking at the funny side can put problems into perspective and enable you to move on from confrontations without holding on to bitterness or resentment. I remember when my daughter, my middle daughter, was going through junior high, and sometimes we were having intense fellowship. Anybody know about that? And sometimes it would just be kind of tense because she was wanting to do things we didn't want her to. And, you know, she was testing the waters and all this kind of thing. And we got in this little routine that when she came home from school, we would watch I Love Lucy reruns. She has got to be the greatest comic that has ever lived. And good, clean comedy. And we would just laugh. And it did so much to bond us and get us past some of the tension that came with just day-to-day life. Are you with me? Laughter may even help you to live longer. A study in Norway found that people with a strong sense of humor outlive those who don't laugh as much. The difference was particularly notable for those battling cancer. I thought that was very interesting. So, if you'll humor me a little bit, I'm going to tell you some jokes. Okay? We learned in children's church that if we did an icebreaker at the beginning and made the kids laugh, if kids laugh with you, they like you. And so then they would, you know, receive the word better. And I think that's why they invented preacher jokes, too. Preacher said, you know, it's kind of tense. I got to tell a joke. But anyway, here's some jokes. What did the drummer call his twin daughters? Anna 1, Anna 2. Anyway. What did the hat say to the tie? You hang around, I'll go on ahead. Why can you never trust an atom? Because they make up everything. What do you call a bunch of rabbits in a row walking backwards? A receding hairline. The teacher asked little Henry, "Tell me, little Henry, what's the difference between ignorance and indifference?" Little Henry, "I don't know. I don't care." What's Irish and stays out all night? Patio furniture. I hope that wasn't too derogatory if anyone's Irish in here. Didn't mean to offend. Anyway, so even medical science has discovered that laughter or a merry heart is the best medicine. God invented laughter. I thought it was interesting because everything I read several articles, said that they still don't know why we laugh. They don't know why people laugh. But, you know, even animals have a way of showing that they're happy. You know, dogs wag their tails, cats purr. Some animals actually dance when they're happy. But, and they said, we don't know why this is true in the evolutionary process. We know there's not an evolutionary process. But God created laughter. He created us to smile. That's why I hate these masks. I found a mask that says I'm smiling on it. Because, you know, we're trying to smile with our eyes, right? And I understand why we're wearing them. Don't get me wrong. But I believe that when Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day, and Adam was discussing with him what to name certain animals, I believe there was a lot of laughter. I believe, you know, Adam would look at that giraffe and go, what should we call that? And, you know, so God created it, and he wants to fellowship with us. And sometimes if you'll listen to him, he'll help you laugh at yourself. I know the other day, I was walking out to the car. We were running late. I was running out to the car, and so I was setting the alarm. I ran out to the car, and I stopped midway, and I looked at Mike, like, do you have my briefcase? And he's in the car, like, I don't know what you're saying. So I went, I left it in the house. So I ran back in the house, undid the alarm, looked around, didn't find it. I thought, oh, he must have taken it already to the car and didn't know what I was saying. So I ran out, opened the back seat of his truck, and it wasn't there. And I said, where's my briefcase? And he said, it's on your arm, silly. And now you're laughing at me, but how many times have you been on your cell phone looking for your phone? Right? Okay. So we need to laugh at ourselves a little bit more. You know, that's one thing that, you know, I think about a lot of times is God just craved that fellowship. Over the eons of time, he has craved that fellowship that he had with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, in the garden, walking in the garden. And he went through a lot to preserve a lineage to bring us to this hour where we could be born again of his spirit, where we could walk and talk with him. And I love 2 Corinthians 6:16. It says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. He dwells in us. Isn't that amazing? And I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He didn't have to wait for once a year for the high priest to come in, and only if he'd done all the sacrifices right so he wouldn't fall dead. But he can indwell us. We can be born of his spirit. He can fill us with his Holy Spirit. And we can walk and talk with him, not just the cool of the day, but all day long, and have that wonderful fellowship with him. Aren't you glad? Are you with me tonight? You guys have got to make more noise for the amount of people that you're out there. I appreciate people that will egg me on. You know, it's interesting, but children laugh about 150 times a day. And most adults laugh 12 times a day. In Matthew 18:2-5, Jesus said, he asked him to bring a little child to him. And he said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. So we need to laugh more. We need to work on getting up to 150 instead of just our measly little 12. And let the endorphins flow. And let our brain work better and our body be better and feel better. Amen? Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. And I so appreciated Pastor Joel last week. I told him, I mean, I've heard him minister before and I always get so much. But last week, I don't know, just knowing where so many people were at, in your, if you were here, in your brokenness and in our society's brokenness right now over this horrible pandemic and just so many things going on and disappointments and politics and all of the above. And just that sense of loss. You know, we've lost kids going to school. We've lost so many things. And you can be tempted to really be in a state of grief and anger. And he ministered so effectively. And so many of you got blessed and ministered to, and it was just such a timely message. And there is a time to grieve, don't get me wrong. Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And yet just watching the mourning of everyone and watching their pain, he wept. And so God is easily touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I'm not saying that. But as God ministers to your heart and heals you, and get you over some loss of family members, friends, loss of income maybe, loss of, you know, experiences that your children could be having right now, all of those things. Then there's a time that he's going to say you need to apply some medicine. You need to get into a place of having a merry heart because it's going to do you good, and have a laugh with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Psalm 126, 1 through 3 says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then they said among them nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we were glad. Back in the 80s, I was blessed to be back at Rhema Bible Training Center. And the wonderful man of God that started that school, Kenneth E. Hagan, we would have these huge camp meetings. And every, you know, students and just life, you know, going through a lot. Sometimes he would say, he'd call up Sister So-and-so, who had just this infectious laugh. And he'd say, you need to laugh. And she'd start laughing, and just like looking at Julie's grandbaby there, we would all start laughing, and a supernatural anointing would fall on that place. Now, I know some groups made a religion out of that, and that was wrong, and we don't want to be rude and just start laughing when someone's trying to preach. That's not what I'm saying to do. But there was an anointing that would come upon that great body of people, and we would laugh. And there was the Holy Spirit would be involved with it, and there was a real lifting of burdens. And many times, when you come into the presence of God, and you begin to worship Him and praise Him, and we're going to talk about praying in the Spirit a little bit later tonight, you'll find yourself coming into a place of just laughter in the Holy Spirit, and Him just ministering to your heart that, I got this. Or sometimes He'll just say something, you know, to just bless you or make you lighten up on yourself. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't even need the devil. I'm so hard on myself. Anybody else hard on yourself? And he'll just say, oh, lighten up. Come on, get a life. Go have sex with your husband. I mean, you know, he might, well, I don't know if he tells you things like that, but, you know, anyway, I better get back in the Word. Psalm 89, verse 15 says, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. And in Psalm 16, 11, it says, in your presence is fullness of joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. And laughter is an expression of joy. Amen. God instituted memorials and feasts or celebrations and the Sabbath rest to remember great victories, with dancing and rejoicing, and even gift giving were a great part of those ceremonies. With rejoicing comes laughter. When God brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian captivity, they danced and sang in Exodus 15:20. It says, then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out with her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider are thrown into the sea. Probably Dr. Kobernick and I could sing that song. But anyway, they sang and they danced because they were coming out of 400 years of slavery. And they were so ecstatic that God had brought them such great victory. And I'll tell you that there's a laugh of faith. You know, we emphasize faith so much around here. Maybe not using the scripture Mark 11:24 as much as some people would like us to or whatever, but It's a recipe for faith, that scripture. I don't have it on the overhead. But in that scripture, it says that if you believe that you receive it when you pray, you will have it. And more of us need to do the whole hallelujah dance when we pray, and then we'll have it. You know, many times we pray, and then we wait to see, is it going to come to pass? Hope so, maybe so. And just like a carrot dangling in front of that donkey, it's just always out there. But faith is saying, thank you very much, Father. I believe that I receive that promise that you've given me. I believe that I receive that healing. I believe that I receive those financial needs met. I believe that I received my children coming back to the Lord. And when we get the reality of that down in our heart, because we've been meditating on the word and believing his promises, then just do a whole hallelujah dance right there, because if you believe that you receive it, you're going to have it. Amen? Are you with me? God is good. God is good. I'm old school here with my paper notes. I love Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. It says, and do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I think that's interesting. Don't be drunk with wine, but he makes a parallel statement here. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, I don't know about you. Well, let me finish reading. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I started to say, I don't know about you, but I used to get drunk, well, maybe once or twice. No, I used to get drunk back in the day before God got a hold of me because I wanted to feel good. Anybody else? I mean, you know, you don't do things that you don't that are going to hurt you. Well, you shouldn't. But we would get drunk or high because we had pain or our life was a drag and we wanted to have fun. And so there was a temptation there. Get high, just escape. But the problem with that is that it's the enemy tempting you to yield to a lust of the flesh. And with that worm that the devil is dangling before the fish, he wouldn't tell us about the hook that was in the worm. So, you know, the commercials and everything that make partying and getting high and everything look so fun, they never show you the morning after the night before. Have you noticed that? And so there's always that crash. There's always that downer until the enemy finally gets a hold of you and you're addicted, and then you can't decide not to do it if you don't want to. But it says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's a wonderful, beautiful high, as it were, in the Holy Spirit, where you sense his presence and he seats you literally with him in those heavenly places and gives you a little touch of heaven. And then you look down on your situation and he helps you put it all in perspective. Are you with me? Well, here's where laughter came from. Psalm 37, 12 through 15 says, the wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. It says, the Lord laughs at them. Look at Psalm 2, 1 through 6. Why do the nations rage? That's what I've been wondering. And the people plot a vain thing. A whole lot of vain things being plotted right now. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. We're seeing that being played out, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep pleasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. So it says that he who sits in the heavens laughs because he knows what's coming down. And he knows how this thing plays out. And friends, we need to be reading the back of the book more and know that in the end, we've said it around here so much, we win. Amen? Are you with me? Are you with me? In Luke 21, 28, Jesus says, when all these things start coming to pass, look up
and laugh. He says, basically, rejoice or laugh. Luke 6, 22 and 23 says, blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. I think an expression of that would be laughter. Amen? Leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. So when we see these things coming to pass, he said, look up. Our redemption draws nigh. You know, when you've been watching the news, just turn it off and say, God, you got it all figured out. You've got it all figured out. And just have you a good laugh with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So how do we laugh when things are going badly? As I said earlier, many of you have suffered losses during this time. And I don't want to make light of that. Because, you know, we're going through the most difficult time that we've had in our society in hundreds of years. But we need to do like Pastor Dan ministered to us a few weekends ago about reprioritizing our focus and what we're looking at. And we need to say, okay, this is happening. But God, you are a big God. God, you are a good God, and you redeem everything that the enemy can do, and put your faith back in him. We need to take that medicine that's going to heal us. It begins with praise, which is an expression of gratefulness. I love Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. So we come into his gates with thanksgiving. Many times when I don't know what's going on, I don't even know what to do, all I know to do is to praise. I know praise is always effective. I know if I'll just lift my hands and begin to praise him and thank him for everything I don't understand, everything that's going on, even in the natural, even if what it didn't come from him, even if it might be authored by the enemy, I know that for whatever reasons, it's been allowed in my life, and so I'm going to praise him. I'm going to thank him. I'm going to be grateful for everything he's doing in my life. Amen? So you enter his gates with that thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And then we need to be able to commit the whole of our cares to him. Just know that whatever you're concerned about, your Heavenly Father is concerned that much more. He knows every one of your tears and he's saving them up for you. It's going to be part of our reward, I think, in heaven. And so the Bible says he's easily touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Jesus walked this walk. He knows what it's like to be tempted in our flesh. He knows what it's like to have loss and grief and pain in our life. But then the thing that God showed me years ago is that he has not designed us to carry the cares that we cannot do anything about. Some things we can fix. Need a better education? Go to school. You need to lose weight? Quit eating so much. Or find a good meal plan like I did. You know, all these things we can do something about. And so get off your duff and do some things that you can do about your situation. Make the changes you can change. But when it comes to things that are purely out of your control, then he has not designed you to carry the worry and the care of that. And that's what's going to take you out young. Are you with me? And the devil is a liar. So I love 1 Peter 5:7. In the Amplified, it says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your cares, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. You've got to commit those things that you're so worried and concerned over. You've got to commit them, it says, once and for all on him. And guess what? If he's got it, you don't. And that's how you know if you've really cast it on him. If you're still carrying it, if you're still wringing your arms, if you're wringing your hands, if you're still worried and fretting and fearful, then you didn't quite get it over on him. So cast it on him. Keep it on him. Commit those cares to him. Amen? Laughter is the expression of joy, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we need strength in this hour. We need to be full of the joy of the Lord so that when the world is freaking out, instead of just jumping in, instead of just jumping in the conspiracy theory with them, and I've been there, I understand. We need to have the answers. We need to have the Word of God. Not be so distracted by everything that's going on, but be focused on giving people the true answers to their situation. If they need healing, we're giving them 1 Peter 2:24. Our dog groomer texted me today and said she's got COVID. She can't groom our dog on Tuesday. And I said, and she said, my symptoms are really bad. I'm really afraid. And so, through a text, I was ministering to her. And I said, I don't know if you're a Christian, but 1 Peter 2:24 says, with Jesus' stripes you're healed. And then we were back and forth, and I was ministering to her about Philippians 4, 6 through 8, about let the peace of God keep your heart. I said, don't get running in fear. That will only make things worse. And I just ministered to her. And it might be through a text. But God will use you if you're in a state that you can minister. Amen? So Nehemiah 8:10 says, he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. We need to be strong in this hour. Amen? Amen. We need to be strong in this hour. Well, in a moment, in just a few moments, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is going to help you to come into that joy and come into that expression and be able to pray in the Spirit and sing songs in the Spirit. And it'll help you to even come more fully into the presence of God.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.